हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय 1 आदिकाण्ड 4 भक्ति इज सुपीरियर टू ऑल अदर साधनास अनुच्छेद 98 दस भक्ति इज द लाइफ ऑफ दी साधनास. Bhakti is the abhideya in all cases, but without other sadhanas, bhakti gives its results. But one quote Vishnu Purana, if one satisfies the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of sacrifice and the Lord of yoga, what cannot be attained? Vishnu Purana, quote, he who takes shelter of Vishnu attains the Lord without a wealth of practice for artha, dharma, kama, and moksha, moksha dharma. Thus it is rightly said that bhakti is the abhideya, since it is said to be the result after hearing all scriptures. And it's, yeah. So this element of, because that we see that in the Sanskrit grammar, then the third case that is there, then that it's you know, specifically and generally you can say it's the instrumental, because then anything's instrumental is there. You know, you did this by this, like this. But it also includes who's with, and it also includes sadhana. Sadhana is also one of the contexts. So that means sadhana is an instrument for something else, right? And so then according to what's here, then that instrument then is instrument to something that's being performed. So the actual abhideya is bhakti, right? So sadhana is an instrument for devotion, bhakti, devotional service. So you have those sadhanas that are, you know, the result of them are direct, like you offer an artic lamp, and directly, even though it may be a sadhana practice, you're doing these things part of, you know, vaidhi bhakti, but the result of it is directly offered to Krishna. So therefore, the deity worship is counted as direct devotional service, right? Well, let's say something like abhigamana, which is part of the thing because it's there for that, it's in support. But let's say Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example of taking your bath, its immediate result's not service to Krishna. Its immediate result is that your body's clean, you're refreshed, you know, and negative influences and moods are removed, all these things. Then you then go to the temple and then worship the Lord. Does that make sense? So how you see something's direct and indirect is where is it, where does it come? It means the transformation that it produces, the action, is that directly offered to Krishna, or is that then going to be a step and then it's going to be offered? Like you go to work, you by doing your work, you get money. So the result of work is money. Right, but now you can take the money and now offer it to Krishna, or you could go out and you know, take a Caribbean cruise, you know, whatever. So the point is that you see is that it's there. So the varnashram then is indirect because the results of it result in something else. You know, a brahmacharya life, then you get knowledge like that. The grihastha life, then there's all the relations in the family like this. The vanaprastha, you start to become detached from, you know, the family, activities, sannyas, then, you know, then it's about the indifference to all these things. And then all those things are offered to Krishna. Right. So then when it's talking about, when the, acharyas are talking about, or Krishna talking about sannyas, you know, it as conscious level of consciousness, then that sannyas means that you are doing everything you're doing just for Krishna. So even though it might be technically indirect activities, because it's only being done for Krishna, it takes on the flavor of direct. It becomes dovetailed, as Prabhupada points out. It's like the iron in fire, right? So then by the iron being in fire, it becomes hot. So does that make sense? So that's why Krishna points out the difference in the opening of the 18th chapter of renunciation and sannyas. Renunciation means you've done the work, you've got the result. Now the result you can give to Krishna. But sannyas means it's always been for Krishna. So it actually is already dovetailed. The other one is I did the work, I got the money, then I dovetail it. But this is, no, it's already from the beginning. So it already takes on that quality of transcendence. And that's then what Krishna's pointing out. Give up all other religions, just surrender to me, right? Before that, you know, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So everything should be done in context of Krishna. So therefore, give up all other religions and just serve Krishna. That doesn't mean that you give up the actions that produce results or knowledge that produces detachment. It means don't do them for yourself and then give to Krishna. Only do them in context of serving Krishna. Does that make sense? Right? So that's the whole point. That's why we see is sadhanas are instrumental. They're not the thing. The smartas and that make too much that the thing itself is producing the thing, and that's the result we want. So they're simply absorbed in that secondary aspect. That's why it's a problem. You know, or the sahajiyas, they're, you know, seemingly absorbed in the Lord, but it's the Lord about them. You know, they're thinking, oh, I'm going to do this for Krishna and I'm going to do that for Krishna in the spiritual world. Not, no, you're going to assist others doing those things. They may arrange that you do something direct, but that's not your meditation. You know, we're doing it ourselves. Why would we think, as I'm going to be there standing in front of Prabhupada, not behind, in front, you know, between him and Krishna, and I'm going to be doing those things for Krishna. Why would you think like that? You'll think I'm going to be standing behind Prabhupada, assisting him serving Krishna. Well, that's the dasana, dasana, das. Right? But because it's connected to them, then it gives the direct effect. We'll think, oh no, because it's farther away, I'm not getting, it's direct. Right? It doesn't matter. That's the whole point, is that transparent via media means there is no blockage. And not only that, your view gets better because you see Krishna, then you see Krishna, then his devotees, and then you see the devotees serving Krishna. You see all that. And for Krishna, that's what's nice. Because it said that, you know, Krishna, everything comes from his body. His forms, Satchitananda, everything manifests in that. I mean, there's not one thing that doesn't. Right? So, I mean, but for Krishna, the devotee is more important than himself. So that's why we see it's always down to the rasa, the relationship. That relationship, that's what makes everything work. Based on that, everything else comes out. So that's the problem in we see is that when we leave that personal element, then we start putting it onto the effectiveness of the work or the, how favorable the situation is for allowing you to do that work. Right? Because I want a physical result, you know, or an emotional experience that's centered around me. And so my relationship is actually with dead matter. So even if I'm talking, it's family, but family is an identity. You know, and I'm a family member, that's an identity. So unless I deal on the personal platform, you know, because it's quasi-personal because, yeah, family is but it's an identity, their individuality. If I don't address that in my specific relationship with them, it doesn't take on that actual personal thing. That's why people aren't really satisfied. And even if you are, you know, you have more sentiment and you get into it and all that, it won't satisfy the soul. So ultimately, that's why those in the mode of goodness, they're specifically the earliest ones to ask why. Right? The mode of passion after, you know, slogging through it and being beaten by the material energy and all that. And no, we got to, you know, be determined and go on and all that. And, you know, go through the fire, you know, go up the mountain, kill the, what do you call it? The dragon, and then get to Brunhilde, you know, okay. like that. And then after he gets there and he goes home and then he's taking out the garbage and, like doing all these things, then he might ask why, right? So the thing is, it takes them longer. The one in the mode of goodness, it's very obvious. It's just a little bit, just a little nudge when you're there. And ignorance, they can't tell the difference. They think what's wrong is right and what's right's wrong. So for them, they're doing the wrong thing. They think it's right. And when it doesn't work, then they, what they now call, they double down. They did the wrong thing. They do it harder. Oh yeah, you got to be more serious. You got to like that. And so they just get worse and worse and worse. And they can't figure out why because of ignorance. So they think is, they can't think ignorance means it's reverse. So I can't be the problem. My doubling down can't be the problem. It has to be everyone else. So that's what you see going on in society. It's just the mode of ignorance is getting more and more. You go back some years, mode of passion was, what means mode of ignorance is there. But it's kind of like the front, like you have the, you have the big corporation and then you have the front person that goes out and presents everything. So the front person was the mode of passion, but now it's just straight up mode of ignorance. And so you see all the spokespersons, all the leading people, they're all just speaking in ignorance. Oh, all the problems are because of them, like that. No, it's because of you, but because of ignorance, it's always reversed. And so that's then what we're dealing with is that they take the sadhana, which is the instrument, and make it that it's the real thing. But they don't even know what they're doing or why. Oh, no, we have to do this. Everything must be, equity, fraternity, liberty. Why? That's obvious. Why are you asking? Everybody knows, they can't explain anything. Some are a little bit better at using their argumentative skills, they can present a few things, but other than that, then they can't, they just don't understand. So this is the point is that when it's, that's, the most severe, then mode of passion, then they want what they want. So the karma and gyan is for their own purpose. So it's still not personal, it's still identity, right? So only actually when you get to bhakti, does it actually become personal? Means it'll become personal in the mode of goodness that you perform the duties based on the relationships. And so you get a reflection of the what's in the spiritual world by relationships here. You have the five main rasas there and the 12 secondary rasas. And then if you're following more properly, then you'll start to get, you see a bit of a glimpse of the primary rasas, but it's on the material platform. Right? But if you're not following that mode of goodness, basically you'll only be dealing with the seven secondary rasas. Fear and, so-called friendship, everyone gets together and laughs and all that, and that's it, or all the anger and then the how you say bhayanaka, craziness, all these different things like that. So that's what will go on. And that's what people see. So now it's like the extremist thing is, oh, it's this and oh, it's that. And because that's the only time they get any taste, because there's no taste. They've already thrown out the primary rasas. These don't matter. So then all you have is secondary rasas. And the main one that they'll always use is fear, right? Or terribleness means the other guys are terrible. See, we offer just fear. We're better. They're terrible. Like that, So like that, so it's yeah, chivalry is a bit out of the window, but they do talk about it. Chivalry is missing. They don't talk about masculinity and femininity is missing in their relationship based on that. Oh no, chivalry is gone and all that, and so it's all secondary. It's all secondary. So that's the point is that the secondary has its importance in supporting the primary. Just like the sadhana, as we say, is an instrumental element. So it has its purpose in supporting the primary, which is devotion to Krishna. But one has to understand is that's what it is. It's not automatic because I'm doing it, it's there. So that's the point is which aspects of the sadhana. That's why what the Prabhupada gave us, what the acharyas give in the Daivavarna ashram and in the Pancharatra, those are the ones that are the most elements of the most direct. They have a direct application, I'm not, it means they can be used in a direct application. You know, like I can cook for Krishna, right? Or I can cook because, we need to cook for the family and we offer to Krishna. So then it becomes, so it's there. It's a positive thing. So those elements that are kept there, as you get it down into more detail, those are the ones that start, you have to know more of what you're doing to be able to use it. So you can't bring in more detail within the cultures and all these secondary elements and not know more detail of the philosophy. Otherwise, you will be distracted by your karma or jnana. Oh, if we don't do this, then nothing will work out properly in the family. But the point is unless you know those details and how to connect them, then that's not enough. Otherwise, all you're doing is creating fear. You're not actually creating inspiration with that. Okay. Yes, Pandav G's.
Maharaj, so that means actually non-philosophy in reality means you know how to connect all the details to Krishna. That's what it means.
Yes. So it's not that I know how to speak the philosophy in new agey new speak, and so therefore I can get done all my political work and economic work and moralistic work by using the philosophy. But when you say you're told, yeah, you got to do this, and then they say, why? No, just surrender. Like that, but just surrender to what? They're presenting it, as if just surrender means surrender to Krishna, but what they mean is just surrender to what I said. Yeah, just submit. But they haven't brought out is how this, because they do, that's done. And yes, it is a proper position is that, let's say the brahmachari should be following the authority and all that, but they're not making him Krishna conscious. By educating them in Krishna consciousness. They're not showing how what you're doing is service to Krishna and what's the mentality and how it all works. They just want to know, I said you do it. And so then in this way, then no one learns the philosophy because what does it take? If I just say that, then if the person's pious enough and has that kind of mood of surrender, I've got my work done simply by saying, just surrender, Prabhu, It's like, 3 seconds and I've got my work done. Now, if I can explain it, that might take 5, 10 minutes. They really don't know what's going on. I might find that it's worth, having an istogosi explaining how devotional service works and it'll take some time. But during that time, you're taking, by educating the devotees, you're taking away valuable time that you could be doing more important things like management, or bureaucracy or, Pajalpa, gossip, like that. So then it doesn't become promised that the temples are educational institutions. It means everyone's being, you don't have to necessarily have formal courses. Prabhupada was wanting that to happen, but you should be educating your devotees why they're doing what they're doing. Right? So then that means then whoever the leadership is, they're knowing the philosophy, making it practical. They're applying it in their own life. Otherwise, how do they make it practical for everyone else? And so, like that, then it gets done.
Thank
Did
you,
that
Maharaj.
work?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, because I forgot what the thesis was. It got so much into the drishtanta that you came up. Well, what was I drishtanta-ing, Yeah, okay. So then we saw that then from Srimad Bhagavatam, by the influence of time, the Vedic knowledge was lost. Okay, and said by the Lord himself, first promoted bhakti. By the influence of time, the Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke to Brahma, the Vedic knowledge, in which bhakti is the essence. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.3. So Krishna, then Brahma wants to know why. Krishna explains it. He doesn't just say, just surrender. I mean, as it is, as you surrender, I'll reciprocate and give up all other forms. But his whole point is bhakti is the real thing. So for Krishna, because that personal element is the main thing, that's why it's always the central feature. You know, we think, oh, you get into all this stuff and it just distracts. But distracts from what? It doesn't distract from bhakti. It could distract from management. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. If our point of leadership is efficiency of management, no, it's efficiency of Krishna consciousness. Management is also just a sadhana. It's just a tool. It's an instrument. It's not the substance. Right? So that's the point. All these things, educating people, organizing people, managing people, economics, bureaucracies, these are all instruments for bhakti. It's just a matter of what your nature is. You do that one. You play your part, right? Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Oh, Uddhava, all philosophies arise from the Vedas alone. I mean, he says all. He means all. It's just some are direct, like the six schools. They're direct because they take Vedic verses. They know they're studying the Veda. They take the verses that mean something to them for their particular philosophy. And then they develop on that, you know. So they're taking the Vedas, they're interpreting it for their particular purpose. You know, it's like Gautama showing has to be logical. So everything will be interpreted in the context of logic, right? Because by logic, then I will attain the absolute. Or Vaisheshika, by atomic theory, how everything's atoms and how it's all held together and all these technical things like your modern science. And that will be, but it's based on the Veda. Or analyzing the universe from the metaphysical point of view, you know, the physical, metaphysical, that aspect, then that's more. When you get into more of the mind and the metaphysical and the subtle elements, then you're analyzing like that and then going through that mechanically. Right up to now, you see they're all mechanical. And so then that will elevate the conscious, but it's focused on Vishnu. While the other three ones before, it didn't really talk about focusing on Vishnu. Then the karma mimamsa, then that also will take all means, you know, you're analyzing, but it's not so much that you're intellectually analyzing. You know what to do. You analyze what to do. You apply yourself to doing that and you get your result, which may be karma or jnana. Right? It means generally when you're younger, it's always going to be karma. And when you get older, it's jnana. So it's renunciation, you know, liberation. But those are seen as pious activities. So therefore, even if I do get the element of the, you know, I'm working towards that element of liberation, still that will increase my piety. So that next life, when I'm young again, I will have more piety and more facility and more enjoyment. So it's not about getting out of the material world. In fact, they think you're being a cop out, you know, like that. Like you see an Indian family, oh, you're just, that's just a cop out. You're just doing that, you know, or anyway, even the West, you know, more conservative, more traditional. Oh, you're not following the thing. You're just copping out. It's too hard for it. You can't make it. You don't have the thing. No, we're going for a higher purpose. You know, so it's a standard thing, that karma and all that, then it's a standard thing, especially when you get into those who are more religious, then karma becomes the main thing. And then you see those who are so-called, that if they're following the Vedas, then they get into the aspect of Brahman, emerging in Brahman. But you see, as for most on the material platform, they think of Buddhism, just get rid of everything. Liberation means getting rid of everything. You know, like that. No, it's, you transcend beyond. It's still there. You just move beyond it. You know, so that's this. So all of these, you're dealing with Dharmartha Kama Moksha, and all these are the sadhanas by which they're going to get what they want. So they want Dharma and enjoyment, you know, so therefore they follow the sadhanas of all the, you know, karmic ritualistic activities. They want artha, so they follow all those things that give those, you know, prosperity and those kind of things like that in the way of their managing and managing the situation and managing their money, managing people. Then you get the profit or sense gratification. Then it's about how to organize things that the senses and the sense objects are able to come in contact, right? Really hard that, you know, you're sitting here and the samosa is 1 kilometer away. you know, you can't even see it or smell it, you know, but whatever it is, it's there in the mind. A little bit. Yeah, a kilometer away. Well, yeah, no. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you, when you turn down the gully, then at the other end, you can smell it. Okay. Yeah, one devotee was telling me he'd be out with his friends playing, and his mother would be cooking, you know, at the house. And they're like that, you know, half kilometer or so away or something. And they're cooking. They don't, you know, smell anything. But then when she finished, and then she takes the moringa leaves, they take them, you know, off the thing and strip them off. Then they drop them into the ghee and fry them, you know, to make them crispy. Because I guess you put it on top or eat them as a crispy thing on the side. That smell, then they could smell. And when they smell that, then they know it's time to come home. Because you only cook that at the end. So, you know, so that means after that, they're going to offer and set up. So by the time you get home, it'll be time to, you just walk in the door and sit down. Right, you know. Yes, a good system. Good. So, yeah, okay. So, but the point is you have to get the sense and the sense object close. Right, so sense gratification means what's the arrangement for that, right? So you have to manage it. You have to that. So it's a sadhana, you know. Like you see, why the guy they take there, they have their special, you know, these glasses where the top is smaller than the bottom, and then they got to stand for it because how do you pick that up? So it has to be on the thing. So you put it through your hand like this, and you hold it, and it warms it. You move it. It's a whole sadhana what they have to do. Like that. And if they do it wrong, or you have these competitions, I forget what the name calls. Let's say it's a baking competition, so who made the best cake, you know, or whatever it is. And so they're all brought there, and then there's the judges, and then they have a sadhana how they have to eat it, how much they eat, how they eat it, how they taste it, they have, you know, if they rinse their mouth or what they do and all that, because I've heard of things coming up that they didn't rinse their mouth, and so you said it wasn't good because you have the taste from the previous thing. You didn't follow your sadhana, right? So all these things, everything has a sadhana. And it's all instrumental to something higher. And so the thing is, the highest goal is bhakti. So that means everything. The Vedas give all these different things. So even if you're dealing with the non-Vedic, but where does the idea come from? Right, the guy is in his bathtub taking a bath, right? And then because you're in a relaxed situation where there's nothing else to do, you can relax and your mind goes blank. And when it goes blank, now things that are in the background can come up and you can think of things. And then he understands what he's been trying to do, and he jumps out of his bathtub and runs around the town going, "Eureka, Eureka." Of course, he doesn't have any clothes on. So that's why we still talk about the story, you know, however many, you know, hundreds of years later, but whatever. And so that comes up is that it's where's these things coming from? Why do they think like that? Like Prabhupada mentioned, Bach, his music is very close to Samaveda. You know, it's based on the principle. He doesn't know that. You know, and the West, they have the governances, they do that. Vedas talk about democracy, but it's not at the top level, it's at a lower level. You know, capitalism is there, but it still has to be regulated so it doesn't take advantage of the people and they properly give the tax and they don't get too greedy, because even the capitalist has to advance in God consciousness. You know, the governance is there. It has control, but that control is for protecting the people. Nowadays, you know, you have the control, but it's for getting benefit yourself. No, you're controlling to protect the people. Because you see in the Vedic system, when the administrator leaves, he walks out without anything. Right? His fancy clothes, his house, everything is left. You know, nowadays it's got to take everything with you. But they bring clothes from the forest, right? The bark of the trees that's made into fabric or however it works. That's put on and they leave with that. So they didn't even leave with anything from the kingdom or anything gained from administering the kingdom. That doesn't go with them. So it's just about the people, right? So it's always about there's some higher purpose and all that. And so each one has its point on how it is. So it's very detached, but unless they become God conscious, what's the point? Therefore, Pariket Maharaj is left, but then now he meets Sukadeva Goswami, and now they discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So anything, oh, everybody's equal. Where does that? It's not our philosophy, but it's the soul that's equal. The bodies, you can't, if you want to make those equals, you have to be stupid. You know, it's like, okay, I have this, and I have this, right? This I can count Jop on. Can I count Jop on this? No. But can I stick my phone in this? No. So anybody who says everything's equal has to be an illusion. Everything has its purpose and it's used in its particular purpose. So they want to make that general point of everybody's equal, but they can't do it on the spiritual platform. They have to do it on the mundane platform, and then it won't work. You have to apply the point where it belongs. So that's why it's at the principles from the Vedas, but they don't know how to apply it into their life in a practical, useful way. And because of ignorance, as we said before, is when they think of it should be like this because it seems to make logic to them in their mode of ignorance kind of way, or, you know. And so when they apply it, it doesn't work. So then, okay, you got to do this. I didn't apply that properly, so I try harder. So they're using the opposite of, you're supposed to do it according to the laws of nature. It didn't work. How didn't I follow the law of nature? So then I go back and look, and then I try to apply. You know, but here, because it's ignorance, they got it backwards. It doesn't matter how hard they try, what they do, it can never work. That's just the way it is. The material world, if you're not using the Vedas, you can't make anything work. So if something is working in the material world, you know that's because it's according to the Veda. But then you have to see it in context of it. What aspect has that more natural form of the Veda, and which part is time, place, and circumstance, what they're doing here? Right? So that kind of element you have to be able to see. So the when you understand these things, you see it in the context. So Krishna's pointing out is that everything works because everything has its natural form to work because Krishna's made it that way. And if you follow it, it will work. And if you don't follow it, you can't make it work. Because Krishna, it's Krishna's, it's his thing. He decided what it does. You know, you can't make it up, you know. You know, somebody's made a hammer. You can't decide, oh, I'm going to hit things with the handle. I'm going to hold the, you know, because you have that cool thing, you stick the handle through the middle of your hand here and grab the two sides like that. Then I'm going to make the nails go in and all that. And they don't go in, but I could get probably a tack, you know, the little ones, but it'll bend it. So then I get, you know, the thumbtack, and I put the thumbtack and I hit it with that. If I get it just right, it'll go in. But sometimes I hit it and it goes flying, and that's dangerous. So then we have to outlaw, you know, hitting hammers. So hammers are bad. And so just that's what happened. They don't know what they're doing. No, Krishna said, you hold the one and you hit it with the other. That's just the way it works. You know, that's the law. And so you're doing it that way because you go back in time and you see it stop and evade, or this is how it's explained. They don't know because they're living entities. What else are they going to do? Right? So if it's moving in human, you have to use the human things. If they want to use the animal, you can use those. You know? Okay. Okay, but the purport of the Vedas is bhakti yoga, right? All philosophies, but the purport, what you're supposed to do, the purpose, is bhakti yoga. Right? So that means even the philosophy is for bhakti yoga. The dharma arises from my sarup, maratmakaha, since bhakti is the essence of the Hladini Shakti. Right? So that's the thing, is Sarup, the essence. The Hladini means the experience that is gained, you know, and that Hladini means it's in relationship. So based on the relationships between the Lord and the devotees, that's then what the whole activities of bhakti, and therefore anything else, is all for the purpose of. Maratmakaha can also mean the process in which the mind concentrates on me. right? And so what will bring you to remembering Krishna? So either you have that rati and attachment, so therefore then making the yoga maya arranges that something in relation to Krishna is there. There's udipan, or there's a devotee, or there's some paraphernalia to do that, and that's done like that. Or you see through the philosophy how this connects to this, connects to this, and that connects to Krishna. And so in that way, you're absorbing yourself in Krishna. You know, the yoga system, you suppress the breath and do this and that, and so like that. But the point is it connects to Krishna. That's the point. So the whole point is it's bhakti yoga coming from the Haladini. You know, so in other words, you have the form that it takes, and then you have the experience that it generates, you know, from that. So both these aspects, they go together, that you're remembering Krishna and absorbed there. And that is the mechanics of how how cooking works, but that you're absorbed in Krishna while cooking and thinking of Krishna. That experience is going to be greater than the mechanical experience of cooking. Either you're cooking for Krishna, that gives you a taste. And if you're doing nice, you want to do nice for Krishna and everything. Now and again, but when you now and again remember and connect it, that's where you get the taste. But someone like Mother Yashoda can just be thinking of Krishna at the same time as, okay, because Krishna likes it this way, then she deals with the mechanics of what it takes to get that preparation to happen. This refers to bhakti, since by bhakti alone one becomes absorbed in the Lord, right? There's no other process to do that. Karma and jnana can't do that. So again, it goes back to bhakti. I say, bhaktyaham ekaya grahya. I am realized only by bhakti. Yeah, ekaya and grahya. I'm only, realized. You can only grasp by bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. This means, quote, I can be attained by the senses only by bhakti and by no other method, right? So you can say, I can be attained by the senses. I attained by the senses only by bhakti. You can say, okay, so that's that. But we could also use the mind, and we can use the intelligence. And then the next point he says, and by no other method. So bhakti means the senses are engaged in the Lord's service. So only bhakti can do that. The other processes are mechanics. Right? The other processes are mechanical. Then you can connect that to Krishna. So that's why the bhakti is the real thing. The purpose of any action is bhakti. So due to ignorance, people think it's something else. They leave out Krishna. They want to be Krishna. And so they've replaced Krishna. It means you have to have all three, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So the Sat and Chit will be everything around them. They're the Ananda. So everything's about surrendered around them. But then it doesn't work because they aren't everything. But Krishna is everything. So then when Krishna is satisfied, that means everything coming out connected to Krishna is satisfied. And if you're connecting with Krishna, you can appreciate that satisfaction. But if you're not, then you're seeing it is separate from those things. So you're an illusion. So even though you're there with material energy, you're not actually even appreciating that it's Krishna's and it's Brahman. It's all Krishna. And so therefore, these are, Brahman features, Sat features are the mechanics of how the laws work. That's the Chit features. But the point is this, it's the person, the Ananda, who has all three. Sat, there's only Sat. Chit, there's Sat and Chit. Ananda, there's Sat, Chit, Ananda. They're not three separate things. When you say Sat, it means only Sat. It exists. Right? Chit means it exists and the laws that control it then are being applied. Sat, Chit, and Ananda means it exists, all the things being applied for the satisfaction of the Lord. Right? Through the Haladini Shakti. So that's the thing. So, but no, if you have that, if we have bhakti, then what about this? That means because they don't understand that it already contains. Like that. If I order a meal, it comes with the plate and the cutlery and the glass and the water and the salt and pepper, and there's a table and, something on the table, and there's a place to sit, and there's a room that's in. And all that. I don't have to eat, hey, come to my house for lunch. Oh, great. Oh, that's really nice lunch. Will there be, some place to sit for lunch? Yeah, of course. Do you give like a plate or stuff, or do we have to hold it in the hand? No, it's all kinds of like, no. You'd say, what's wrong with this person? Well, doesn't he know what how? So what's wrong with this person? Doesn't he know what, how bhakti works? Bhakti is all-inclusive. You know, we want all-inclusivity. Only bhakti is inclusive. Nothing else is inclusive. Like that. Other processes mentioned by the sages are not actually the best, since they do not produce attainment of me. Right? So that means this, what the other sages are doing, means these six schools, that they're not based on bhakti, then what's the point? So bhakti already includes that there is a logical presentation of something. It already includes how everything is held together by Krishna, because he's the one that makes it work. It already includes that how the mind works, intelligence works, and how all the relationships are worse based on the metaphysical elements. It already includes how the mind, you know, focuses on something to get anything done, you know, and focuses on, you know, ultimately Krishna. And it also means that there's culturally a larger scale of how everyone works together and that and interacts so that they get the greater good. Because you see, for the other ones, it's just about yourself. The first four are just about yourself. The fifth one is about more the community. That's where Varnashram comes in. Just if anyone just wanted to know, it's a little hint. And so then you have the community and the greater things like that, all the Brahmins and the community and the kingdom and, you know, all these kind of things. So, but then, you again go out where you pull back from that in the Vedanta. You're trying to go to a higher level of consciousness. But then we see, you know, Shankaracharya is just about yourself and liberation. But we see in Vaishnava Vedanta, then it's about relationship with Krishna. Then you're related to Krishna, who's the supreme absolute. Then you're connected with all the minuscule absolutes. And so that way you have a relation with anything and everything. They centered on Krishna. So those things that you have a relationship in service to Krishna, that's what you interact with. And that what you don't. And so then it works. So none of the other schools, and if you're putting on the side the six Vedic schools, then automatically modern things are just bits and pieces of these, right? We can identify what they go with, but the materialists, they just think it's their own thing. They give their own names. You know, this is came up by, what was it? You know, who was that guy? The French philosopher is just sense gratification. Sartre. Okay. One of these guys that just, they were very philosophical and, you know, like that, but their lifestyle was very abominable. And so someone came up and one of his friends, you know, another, you know, intellectual, was talking with him about that. He got so offended that he made it into a philosophy like that. But that's just, you know, a very gross form of charvak. You know, and Charvak's just taking the point of kama and missing out on everything else. So it's just, it's already a part of a part. So it's not complete. And so, yeah. What is the use of asking about the principal or chief means amongst them? So he's pointing out so what are the principal, you know, means or the chief elements, you know, amongst these six schools when it's like, no. But and what's the point? Bhakti is the point. So unless you can see it in connection with bhakti, why get involved? So in other words, it's more important to be involved in bhakti, even if you don't understand anything else, you know, and that's the essence. And then as you get purified, mature, then you can start adding in the, you know, the further elements that deal with all these secondary and cultural and how to work with other people and all these things. You add it in, you keep the bhakti. But if you throw out, okay, there's a problem because the culture is weak. We have to bring in the culture. Then only the bhakti will be proper. And then you forget about the bhakti. Then you haven't gained anything. You know, what's that? There's some, I think it's one, maybe it's a, you know, some, I think it's a biblical quote about, you know, something about what does one gain if he gains the world but loses his soul, right? You know, so that's the modern thing. We're being liberal. But, you know, what does any of it have to do with the soul? You know, in being generous, we'd say zero, you know, but it would probably be in the negative, you know, to quite some degree. So what's the point? No, you have to keep the soul. And if it's, so that means, just as it's said, that the Chandala, you know, who knows Krishna, is better than that perfect Brahman doing all the six, you know, activities and all that, who doesn't know. You can't say, well, one cancels out the other. No, the devotional service being the essence of everything and the purpose of everything. If that's there, then they're rightly situated. Now you just have to work on those chandala elements, you know. You know, you may not let him, you may not engage him in a service of taking care of the dogs. You know, you wouldn't accept his application to become a dog groomer, because you'd start to notice that, it's great, you know, at our pound here, you know, somebody, all the dogs, we haven't had to, you know, I put down any of the dogs here. Everyone's, you know, like, dogs seem to find, you know, it means the inspector comes and, you know, there's a few dogs there and all the other ones are there. Oh, yeah, nothing like that. Then they, that, but then they find out actually the guy's been eating them. So, yeah. So, like that. I mean, we have to work on that. But that he's fixed in Krishna and all that, that's perfect. And then, you know, how long does it take? These other things go away. So it's like they're worried about a few years and something brand new and a new whole cultural revolution and all that. And then they're so disturbed they have to throw out everything and start all over again. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur again says is for the fool. You know, sometimes we keep coming back to being fools, right? Is that if you're at a point and you're moving forward, but in moving forward, you get distracted over the side. Now, modern, you got to destroy everything, reset, go all the way back to there, and then start again. Bhaktivinoda said, no, you're over here, now you start from here and go over, right? Because you're off, so things are off. There's something wrong going, but because you're aiming at Krishna, you're getting closer to Krishna, right? So that means whatever nonsense you're doing here, then it gets less and less and less and less until you come back onto the, you know, until you're properly situated. But the other one, you're off, you're doing wrong things, and you get rid of the whole process, and you go back, you still haven't done anything for Krishna. And if in between you get hit by a Mack truck, then what? You know? And so it's also foolish. You know, practical person, wherever they are, you go from there. You know, it's like if you're at the port, you go out into the ocean, and you go to the wrong direction. Instead of correcting and just going to where you want to go, you say, no, you got to go back to the port, and then from there you have to go. No practical person would say that. But no, we want change. This means you have to destroy everything and start afresh and, you know, everything like this. And no. This is not what the point is. So Krishna's point is the bhakti is the main thing. And if it's there, everything else works. Therefore, then you have that. You just start to show the devotees how everybody is connected to Krishna and part and parcel of Krishna. So you have to deal properly with them. Even if the karmis is still Krishna's devotees, they don't know it. The ones who have surrendered have faith. They know it. So they're the most glorious. The other, so just some little basic, how much does that take to explain? You know, say hi, hello, or, you know, be nice, or, you know, they shake their hand, you do whatever it is, you just, it's simple. 5-minute conversation, and it basically it's done. And if someone really has problem, you give them some association and show them how it's done, and then it's done. That can't be done in the last 40 years, you know, that the Protestants have protested and knocked down everything and building their new things in this that doesn't work. You know, it's not intelligent. It's foolish. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, like that. It doesn't matter. Okay, so then, and then the Acharya continues. You know, same point. Those who are not intelligent make worship of Vishnu a subsidiary element of karma. Right? So this bhakti misra karma. Right? They worship the Lord because karma can't work without bhakti. So therefore, they make Vishnu a subsidiary element. Right? That I have to do this ritual to get this goal that I want. But in that ritual, I have to worship Vishnu. So I will worship Vishnu. And The more focused you are, the more sincere you are, the better it'll be. So I try to be as devotional in everything that I can during that worship of Vishnu as possible. And the greater the bhakti, the greater my result. But once I get the result, I don't have to worship anymore. I'm going to enjoy the result. You know, that's what they're thinking. And so it's a they make worship of Vishnu a subsidiary element of karma, performed for its purposes, right? It's being done, the Vishnu worship, for the purpose of my karma, right? Right here, yeah. By that offense, bhakti only gives results of what the person desires materially. It gives impermanent results, right? Because it's offensive. So if I'm using, bhakti as a subsidiary to my political correctness, you know, or my equity, fraternity, liberty, or whatever is my particular angle, you know, what is it, scandalized abanturocracy is the republic governed by the offended, right? So I found my thing. And so being offended, being the victim, getting everything I've done politically correct, oh, fitting in with the karmis, these are our goals. Then we're using bhakti to get that done. Because what will happen? Even if I oppose varnashram, I'm going to use varnashram on those who agree with it to get them to do what I want them to do. In other words, I'm going to break down varnashram using varnashram because my politically correct stand doesn't have any potency to do that. You know, it doesn't have any, it's an illusion, right? So I'm going to use those for my purposes. So because you do that, then the bhakti in that is offended. So you don't get the spiritual results. You only get the material. Therefore, you see, yes, the bureaucracy has developed over the last 30 years. We do have all those things, but where's the bhakti? And where are the people in the bureaucracy, where's their devotion? They may individually have it from the temple and from their chanting, but from the service they're doing, you see how they approach it, how they deal it. It's not done devotionally. So it has to be very, very careful. Right? You know, and so especially if you have the smartas, there's no question at any point that they're going to do anything in their sadhana that is actually devotional for devotional service. It's all going to be connected to their karma. So they're just, their bhakti mystic karma doesn't have the yoga aspect. At least, you know, how you say, I could say, how is it? Yeah. Bhakti Mr. Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga Mr. Karma, you know, something. There is some devotion in there. So devotees are advancing. But if they're not careful and they go away from the tradition, and that then there's definitely going to have a problem. And even if they follow the tradition, but it's for the purpose that varnashram is important on its own, it's also going to give material results. You know, it'll be better material results. You will have community, you will have relationships, you will have things, but you still, it's not whether you have devotion. That'll still just come from your morning program. So you're in a more pious situation. Your situation is better. In other words, you're situated in devotion, and that's the main thing as the devotee. And then on the material platform, here is goodness, you know, while the other one is passion and ignorance. So it is superior. Say what you want. Those who are anti Varnashram, and those who are positive to Varnashram, you know, in the way of, you know, without this, things don't work. The one supporting Varnashram is more pious on any day of the week. Hands down. But unless they're being done for Krishna, and you can explain how, and you see that, and that's being cultivated, then you're dealing with Niyamagraha. Right? One is rejecting out of ignorance because those who reject cannot explain it. You ask the philosopher, they don't know it. They absolutely don't know it. They pick this stuff up from the karmi and from being in the material world forever that it just comes natural. But their arguments are coming from the karmis. And the pro-Vedic, then they're taking it from the, you know, Hindutvas, you know. And so, yeah, but at least it's pious, but it's still, it needs to be bhakti as the center, and naturally then the Vedic systems are going to be the natural religious support. And depending upon the environment that you're in, you're going to do those things, right? You know, Varnashram doesn't say that when you come up the stairs at the subway in New York and you come out onto the street, even though you don't know where you're going, you look like, you know, you own the place, and yeah, it's yours. And then all the guys leave you alone and you walk around till you find some place that you can figure it out. You know, somebody asks, well, you come out looking, I don't know what's going on. All these sharks will just, boom, just descend upon you. So, yeah, so that you use that there. You don't necessarily have to use it in other places. But you got to use it there. You know, that's what Prabhupada said. They can't cheat him. He's from Calcutta, right? So if you can survive Calcutta, New York is not difficult at all. You know, I mean, literally, you know, like that. You know, if you can keep your stuff in your bag and not get it stolen and walk down Mahatma Gandhi Road in Calcutta in the middle of the day when there's thousands of people around you and everyone's bumping into you and this and that and so many things, then New York will be easy. You know, so that point is, yes, you add that in, but it's based on that I'm doing this for, you know, it's connected to Krishna. It's the Krishna stuff. It's not to be taken, even though this other living entity also belongs to Krishna, but this is my quota, not his. Yeah. Okay. It gives impermanent results. So even though they get something, it disappears. They come up, they get this whole thing, and then it falls apart, and they have to find out more. And if we put in this, you know, assistant GBC, yeah, like that. No, but we need the, you know, then we need a regional GBC, and then we need a, you know, in the back, you know, in the back parking lot of the temple GBC, and then we need, but well, we need the front stairs, you know, of the temple GBC, and then we need to, well, you know, like this, and none of it works because it gives an impermanent result. If the same person does bhakti independent of karma for attaining material desires, bhakti certainly gives the results, the result desired, right? So he does bhakti independent of karma for attaining material desires. He wants, but he's just doing bhakti, but he wants the material desire. But it does not end up in giving only those results. It also gives the highest result. In other words, and it gives the highest because it will start to take away your interest because knowledge and detachment come. Right. So the whole point is the bhakti the main or these other things the main? If you think that unless we're all nice and moral and do everything perfect, we can't do bhakti, then you're doing bhakti Mr. Karma. And if you're thinking, no, bhakti is the real thing and all that, but I have some anarthas and all that, that's karma Mr. Bhakti. It's the opposite. So the karma Mr. Bhakti, that's going to, by because as you become more and more sincere and as you practice, your heart becomes purified, then knowledge and detachment are automatically come from karma. And so therefore, then you don't want those results. You know, it's like Dhruva Maharaj. He went out there and he was focused. I mean, you don't get many people that focused, right? You know, he's out there and he's so focused that when he stops breathing, you know, in the last 6 months, the whole universe can't breathe. You know, it's very hard to breathe and all of a sudden it's like, what's going on? You know, who's the big demon that's taking over and trying to not like that? And then they go to Brahma and oh no, that's just sadhana of this kid, Dhruva Maharaj. So then the Lord goes down there and appears. And then when he sees the Lord, you know, because his thing was a kingdom bigger than his father's, and his father's the king of the universe. So then, you know, you're not going to get much bigger than that. So, the Lord kind of said, I was looking for broken pieces of glass and I found a jewel. So he didn't care about it. Krishna gave him. So he became the king for Svetadvip, which is the spiritual planet of the Lord. It's the spiritual world. That's bigger than Brahma's kingdom. You know, so that's the point. Thus, bhakti is the abhideya because it gives the highest benefit. It's the actual because results are for getting further results. And you get something like, I work hard to get money. With money, you know, then I got money, but then that's the result. But then that I use to buy a house. And then the house is to, you know, have a family. And then you have to, in the family, you have to take care and all that. And then you have to do this and that. And it just keeps going and going. So the actual abhideya is bhakti. So all those things, they're connected to bhakti. You don't have to go through each, all the stages. Just each thing is you're connecting whenever it's being used. And then you're getting the benefit of bhakti. Yeah? How are we doing? Okay, 9 o'clock. We'll end here. Sorry. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Hari Ram.